The White House is defending the airstrikes that it carried out over the weekend in Iraq and Syria. At a White House press briefing yesterday, Press Secretary Jen Psaki said the strikes were retaliation for attacks on American personnel by Iranian-backed militias.
The president's view is that it was necessary, appropriate, and deliberate action, these strikes, designed to limit the risk of escalation. We will take, and he believes we will, should and will take necessary and appropriate measures to defend U.S. personnel, partners, and allies in the region.
This is the second time that President Biden has ordered airstrikes on these militia groups. The first was in February. And Democratic Senator Chris Murphy tells Politico that Biden may need to come to Congress for a debate on declaring war if this back and forth of attacks with Iranian proxy groups continues. Let's bring in Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and based on what we know today, did President Biden have the authority to order those airstrikes in Iraq and Syria?
My guess is this would survive scrutiny. I think there's legitimate arguments on the left and right that we give presidents too much power to conduct these kinds of airstrikes. But the reality is, really since the Cold War, these kinds of operations have become quite familiar. Legal challenges haven't worked in the last decade or so, and I don't see any reason why this wouldn't withstand the same kind of scrutiny.
But there is a lot of scrutiny. The House just last week voted to repeal the 2002 resolution that authorized the war in Iraq, and then there was another one that authorized the invasion of Afghanistan after the 9/11 attacks that have been used to justify a wide range of U.S. military action over the last 20 years. Do you think, Julian, that they were designed to be as open-ended as they have become?
I think they were, and that's the problem. These authorizations of war, certainly the ones after 9/11, but really going back to the Gulf of Tonkin resolution in 1964 around Vietnam, simply gave presidents huge amounts of space to conduct operations. And I think even though 9/11 was about one specific threat, the authority that presidents obtained after allowed them to do this kind of thing in many regions. And so this is a problem with the authorizations and why they need to be more narrowly defined.
Now, why do you think Congress has had such a difficult time getting them repealed?
Well, the party of the president certainly wants to support the president. And even opponents of a president often want to let them take the fall when things go badly. And it's also just a bigger pattern. In the 20th and early 21st century, Congress just delegated a lot of its power over war to presidents. And so this actually was quite predictable.
And yet there was the 1973 War Powers Act that Congress passed that was designed to basically prevent another Vietnam War. Can you just remind us what that bill wrote into law?
Sure. This was an effort to restore congressional power on war making. It required presidents to notify Congress after the deployment of armed forces. It created certain limitations about how long units could remain engaged without congressional approval. The problem is it hasn't really worked. Congress has continued to allow presidents to have pretty free rein. They've often voted to authorize the use of force. And presidents have often just either ignored that War Powers Act or found technical ways to get around it. So it's one of the failures of the post-Watergate and Vietnam reforms of that period.
I was going to ask you if it worked, and you pretty much answered that question. No. And essentially, it sounds like Congress abdicated its war powers over the years.
It did. I mean, I think Congress finds other ways to try to gain some of that power back. They sometimes do threaten with the power of the purse. They won't fund things if the president doesn't step back. They hold hearings, often shining a light on bad military operations and causing problems. But in terms of actual war power, 1973 was not a game changer. And some argue in some ways it's gotten worse, that we are now in a mode where presidents can pretty much do what they want and they don't have to fear Congress trying to stop them.
So set aside whether or not President Biden was justified in these recent attacks in Iraq and Syria, what do you think of the fact that he did them in the first place?
Well, it's not surprising. He comes out of an era in the 1990s when Democrats like himself or President Clinton were finding ways to use more limited, more specified military strikes in response to threats. And this was the kind of democratic hawkishness. And so I think the president is trying to deal with some very contentious areas in the world. And this is a military strategy that comes out of a familiar playbook for President Biden.
Julian Zelizer is professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, it's always good to speak with you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.